Hello, everybody. Welcome to group coaching. I heard for those of you coming from possibility plan co-working session that it was a good one. Let me know in the chat if you were there and how it went for you. That'd be great to know. And I am on the road. I'm in a interesting location, so but I think it's going to work okay. And coaching. Just go ahead and put your digital hand up. I'll get to as many questions as I can. Let me give you some helpful hints. We have time for like a 5-ish minute laser coaching on a burning question that you have. I would suggest that you start with the age and gender of your child, where in the world you live, because I might know of services in that area. And then your question. Because if we start with background, we could get 5 minutes of background and not have time for the question. I know that in most cases, I have come across a flavor of this before. I'll probably ask you a couple of clarifying questions and then we can be on our way. And thank you to everybody who sent in your buddy matching application form. I'm having so much fun matching up the kids and, I think we got almost 300 forms. So, it's really exciting. And, we can't wait to roll that out to you guys. Okay. Let's go ahead and start with, and if you do have a question, if you could come on video, that's helpful. But if you're in a place where you can't, I understand that too. So Suzanne, let's get started with you. Let's see if you
Hi.
hear you. Hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, welcome. What's your
Thank you.
question today? Yeah. And what, how old is your child?
Okay, I have a 13-year-old girl. I live in Whitby, Ontario, so near Toronto. And my question, and my daughter has a really slow processing. So she has a processing disorder. It takes her double to triple the time to complete tasks. And lately, she's been really having trouble prioritizing her work. And so I'm quite worried about the gap for her in terms of COVID and schooling and not addressing that. She's in grade 7. Her marks are fine. But what I'm seeing a lot of missing assignments. She won't let me into her Google Classroom to see her missing assignments. I've said I think we need to start tutoring. I've been contemplating like Oxford Learning, but she's very resistant. She has social, I don't know if she has like, she doesn't have diagnosed anxiety. She just like identifies as having social anxiety. So doing new things, just seem to really stress her out. So I'm really at a loss. Like I don't know what to do. I don't know if like I push for the tutoring. We've been trying to do it at home.
Ask you a couple of clarifying questions, if I might. I love how you zoned in on prioritizing and getting work done. This is sort of a classic thing we hear with like an ADHD profile. And now, and there's many parents on this call who can relate, Suzanne, I have no doubt, and I have two boys in the same situation. So, I really like an idea called I do, we do, you do. Are you driving? I want to make sure
No, I'm just like parked. I'm not driving. I'm parked at a bus stop, and I was like, "Are there, is there a bus coming?" And I think
Oh,
there might
okay. Are you
be.
okay? Are you safe?
I'm totally safe. I just am like wondering if I should. They're fine. The bus is fine. I was just worried for no reason. It's
Okay.
fine. Okay.
Good. Right. Now,
Sorry.
no problem. No problem.
So
So there's a
I
concept called
do,
I
we
do, we
do.
do, you do. Have you heard me talk about that?
Yes, I have. She's 13, so like mom is not always like I get pushed away a lot, which is why I was looking at outside resources. I've been
Okay,
really
great.
struggling with that.
Yes. So I think you're totally on the right track of farming this out so we don't have this constant headbutting over homework. Now, if we were lagging in a particular subject, I would say yes to the tutor, like a math tutor, a reading tutor. Prioritization is more of an executive function thing. So we want to look for either an executive function coach or some schools have an executive function, like study hour, or even some tutors might specialize in executive function. But let me tell you from experience what you don't want. You don't want to send her to a class to learn the concepts of executive function. You want a helper who's going to work with the homework that she has and help her prioritize this. So she's going to be learning life skills to practice for the next 5 years before she launches from home or whenever she launches from home. So I think a really nice message to give is, honey, we can be self-scientists and run a lot of different experiments to figure out how to do this. And it's really just we're figuring out what works best for our brain. And there are kind of two versions of this. I like to talk to kids about versions. One version is we get no help, we go into a bigger academic hole, we get more stressed, and that is no fun. Another version of this is try to bring a kind of helper whose brain is really good at executive function to just like we go to the gym and build these muscles of time management, or we build physical muscles. The executive function coach will help us build the executive function muscles like time management, organization, planning, prioritization. And this is a muscle that we all need to learn. And I'd rather you learn it now than, go off to college and be struggling. So, and then there's my magic phrase. It would mean the world to me. It would mean the world to me if you give this a shot one time and we see how it goes. And I would look for maybe like a younger woman, someone who feels like an older sister, not like another mom or a cold eye. Maybe they share interests. So she'd have like this non-parent adult. And I just have to share a really quick story with you. So my older son had an executive function coach and he slept through the session. Like it was during the pandemic and he didn't get on Zoom for it. And then he had a chat with his coach. He comes to me, he's like, "Mom, you've said like he doesn't really care if I don't show up because he gets paid anyway. But if my goal is adulting, I gotta show up to be an adult." And I'm thinking in my head, have I not said that 5 million times? But the fact that it came from someone else's mouth, he took it in. And he was learning agency, he was learning responsibility and accountability. So that would be my next step, Suzanne. Look at pulling someone into the system who has whose brain does this very well, and they can do it with the existing work that your daughter does. Is that enough to go on?
Yeah, I think so. It's definitely yeah, it's good. Thank you very much.
Okay, let me know how it goes.
I will.
All
Thank
right,
you.
thanks. Okay, Lillian, you're up next.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. So my daughter is 13. She's in middle school and we're in the process of having her tested right now. But I do think that I know she has ADHD and probably she's 2E and has a little bit of the oppositional, well, a lot of the oppositional defiance. So at school since birth, she's been a perfect, perfect, perfect student. Straight A's. She really manages her own work, so I'm proud of her for doing that. She struggles with executive functioning. I've gotten her tools and mentors and things along the way, and we've always been working with a therapist. However, now it's like really we're getting to the meat of it by having her test it. I think she has really high anxiety. So she keeps it together at school. And then the minute we pick her up, it's deregulation central. And it's just like getting worse and worse and worse now. And my husband and I catch the brunt of all of it. She's perfect and masked when she goes out into the world, but with us, it's she's brutal, like verbally abusive, just like from the minute she wakes up, it's just a constant argument, constant, like, okay, we have to go to school. And it's a fight, fight, fight. And it's like literally just like dragging her along, and it's so exhausting. So my question is, it's like when she's getting in there, like last night, my husband ate the end of her ice cream. He's traveling for work and she melted down. Okay. And he knew it already. And he bought her the ice cream replacement, but it wasn't the Ben and Jerry's because they happened to be out of it. He bought like an other freaking ice cream. She went off the deep end. It was like, oh my God, I was trying to sit there and eat. She's moving my plate. I'm trying just like, I don't know what to do when she's deregulating like a lunatic. What do I do with her deregulation? Because where it ended up going, I was like, go to your room. You just need to go to your room. This is ridiculous. Like what you're arguing about right now is ridiculous. So it's I get lost in the emotion. I try to keep it calm and cool, and I can maybe even make it through the day, maybe make it through 3 days, and then the blow up comes. So it's like, how do I keep, and I know she has all these challenges. So it's just really difficult to know what to do in the moment to diffuse her and to keep my sanity. So I don't know if that's something that you can coach with or if that's a longer conversation.
I have some ideas.
Okay.
I would love you to go to Bridget, our AI robot in the video library, and Casey can supply the link in the chat, and search for how do I help co-regulate my team? How do I help co-regulate my team? Now, I know many kids who have a profile like your daughters. I don't know your daughter, but I know many kids like this. I know many adults like this. And we've got hormones on board, which is
Yes.
going to contribute to moodiness. We've got a taxing day. So we've got all the stressors that come with social media and being a teenager and all the social dynamics. So we're going to assume there's a lot of stress on board. And then for a lot of really bright kids, cognitive flexibility is difficult. Really difficult. It's like, here's the thing I was expecting. I like predictability. And another thing happened, and it is just not right with my soul. So, what I would suggest is when this happens, you actually get physically lower than her. Sit on the ground, your eyes are below her. And go for validation and be in your, try to do your yoga breathing. You can put a hand on your chest, a hand on your tummy. Wow. When things don't go as we expect, it can be so upsetting. So instead of like pouring gas on the fire, we're going to pour water on the fire. And she, it might piss her off more to be like, oh, wow, mom's doing something different. I'm not expecting this. I would stick with this because either we can co-regulate to the team's storm or the team can co-regulate our calmness. And then if you can narrate and validate, wow, I know you were really looking forward to that ice cream in the freezer and you really like that kind. And I see that dad really tried to repair the situation, but he didn't get it quite right. And I know it can be hard when we're expecting something. So I get it, honey. I get that that's hard. And when we validate and co-regulate, it can really like just, it's almost like the exhaust coming through. It's like the exhaust can, and she might help him and go to her room. But I think, you're going to be in this like kingdom for a while here with the raging hormones. And if you can keep thinking, regulate, regulate, regulate. And if you dysregulate, I would say, you know what? Mom needs a timeout. I'm going to go for a walk and narrate how you regulate. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to call a friend. I'm going to journal. These are the things on my cool down plan when I get sick. So I would say that's sort of the first line of defense. Just validate, validate, validate. If you feel like this isn't working, you could do some family therapy, sort of like a referee in the room to say, hey, emotional regulation is a thing. Each person in the family gets dysregulated sometimes. Let's have some ground rules and work on some skills, like have the cool down plan and practice the cool down plan. I really like the ground rules, and you could have a family meeting and brainstorm ground rules. Because let me just say, Lillian, I was this teen too, and I really wish my parents had said, "It's okay to be angry, but you may not talk to us that way, using disrespectful language. It's really hurtful. It's just really hurtful." So we got to work on other ways to express our anger because everybody in this house deserves to be safe. Does that
That's
make
very
sense?
good. Yeah, that's a really good tool. I really appreciate that. I haven't thought of it from that perspective. I mean, it's just very good. I like the cool down plan, and I will go and ask Bridget and get some additional information.
Excellent. Hey, Lillian. Posted.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You bet. Well, hi, how's it going?
Hi, I think Kate had her hand up before me.
Oh, let's see. Okay, Kate, do you want to go first?
Okay, I can go. So my son is 18. He has one more year of high school after this, and his kind of diagnosis, which I know isn't real anymore, but it was Asperger's when he was four.
Well,
My
it's still
question
real.
is,
I don't think our
well, I
diagnosing
know,
manuals
but
got quite right.
I guess we're not supposed to call it that. I don't know. Is there value in having a new neuropsych evaluation done as a young adult? He is not, he had one, like I call real one, like with a, you know, at, through a, you know, not through the school when he was four. He had another one through the school district when he was 10, but has had nothing since then. And I feel like we've done, you know, school, we've done well. We've figured kind of everything out. I guess my next, I'm feeling a little stress about what happens after high school because we have kind of tailor-made things. And what I'm finding is kind of figuring out what his next steps are, what his passions are, what maybe he wants to do. And I don't know if that would be helpful or not in just getting a picture on what his strengths are and weaknesses, or if it's not necessary at this age.
Let me ask some clarifying questions. Is he a senior now?
He will be
Or
a
you said
senior
a
next
junior?
year. So he's 18, but he's a junior. We held him back a year, so.
Got it. And does he have an after high school plan right now or sort of a direction he's interested in?
You know, school, he's always been good at school. But I've also really tailor-made his school. Like he's really done a hybrid program that I've tailor-made, and he goes and takes elective classes at our local high school, but has done online. So I'm not 100% quite sure how he would just do. He's actually going to go to our local high school full time next year, which I think will be kind of a good experiment to just see how he does with mom hands off.
Subjects does he
But
love?
yes, history and science.
And do you think he might major in one of those? Is he college bound?
That's what we're thinking. Yes. I mean, but you know, math is hard. Like there's some subjects that I think could be really hard in college. But what he's maybe thinking of doing is, like maybe a history bachelor's and going on to become a librarian, get a library sciences degree or some sort of a, you know, historical archives or something like that.
Yeah. And what makes you ask
But
the
we could also do a
question
gap
now?
year, you know.
Have you asked him if he has a preference for gap year or go right to college?
for his. Yeah, no, we're just really starting to talk about it, and just kind of what I was my kind of plan was to maybe research several different options and then like say, hey, what do you, you know, collaborate with them. What are you interested in doing? I think it's just, I 6 months is a lot. Like we mature a lot in 6 months. He does. So it's hard to say, what do you want to do a year from now? But kind of, dipping our toes into what are some possibilities.
Sure. And what are the particular challenges you might be concerned about if when he goes away, either on a gap year or to college?
I think maybe being vulnerable to others, like not really social skills are probably our biggest struggle, building friendships, and maybe not always being aware of others' intentions. And so that concerns me. Maybe doesn't always have oh, what's the word I'm thinking of? Intuition isn't always strong, his intuitions. So that concerns me, of making choices that could be dangerous, or I mean, even things like crossing the streets are like, doesn't always
Yeah,
gauge
I know.
time and distance, and processing skills are very slow, are very delayed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, for social in particular, I really like the peers program for someone his age.
Okay. I've
So
actually
I,
researched that. There's,
perfect.
yeah.
So I would skill build in that area. And if you can get in a local group, sometimes they'll have like a Friday night thing. Are you not, are you in
Yeah.
a, like a
Well,
rural area?
I live in a small town, and there's nothing local that is peers group. I actually saw that they have like an online curriculum that you can do that I think maybe they started during COVID. But that's kind of my other problem, is we live in a small town in the middle of Missouri. There's not a lot of services. Even the disability services are for very much lower cognitive ability
Yeah.
than them. And so it's been really a struggle. I kind of have had to build my own program for them, because they just,
Yeah.
don't have a lot
Right.
to offer.
Yeah. So, can you, on the question of doing a neuropsych, I mean, it seems like you have a good handle on the strengths and challenges. I mean, you certainly could do it and you'd probably get some interesting ahas, but it doesn't feel like, red hot, burning, urgent need.
Sure.
I would almost recommend a private coaching session, either 30 or 60 minutes with Lauren Hutchinson, because her son was this exact profile. And they
Okay.
did some interesting things. There was a gap year. There was doing 2 years at a community college, living at home, then transfer to a 4-year school. You have a lot of options. There's gap year.
Yeah, I think she just did the possibility planning class. Was that her?
Yes, that's her.
Okay, I'll
That's
look
her.
her up.
Yeah, she's excellent. And Casey can put the link in for private coaching.
And I will say, if I ask him, his concerns are time management and executive function. And do you have things that could be self, or ideas of things that are self-driven by him to do these, to learn these things, more so than like mom sitting. Even like getting his own coach or something that would make him accountable. Is that?
100%. I would look at coaching, because what we want to do is not give him the fish. We want to teach him how to fish so that when he goes to
Exactly.
college, right? And then we also want to look for a university that has neurodiversity supports. Maybe there's an
Yes.
ADHD center. Maybe there's, a certain dorm with advisors. I think the Landmark University has a summer program, which is very
And I want
expensive.
him to go to all these, and he has no interest. I mean, I'll pull out the pamphlets, I'll do all these things, and he looks at me like, "Are you crazy? I'm not going to go live in Florida or Vermont," or And that's the other thing, is kind of getting it to where he sees it as, "Hey, this is going to help you grow." But I also can't imagine like forcing him to go live 10 states away if he's not ready for that.
So we might look at a local university. We might look at it, community college. We might look at a gap year. But I think readiness is a big deal. We don't have to go on the traditional timeline, and
Yeah.
you actually have a lot of options. And you could say, honey, I want you to stretch your comfort zone a little bit. But if you want to go to school near home, you know, if there are options, we can look at that, or we can look at a gap year.
Yeah.
So you have lots
Okay.
of
Well,
options,
those are
and
some good
Lauren's,
options to look at.
yeah, and Lauren's really good at this stuff.
Okay, thanks. All right, thanks,
Okay.
Debbie.
Thanks. Oh, and Kate, one more thing. There is a talk in the library with my son about his transition to college, so that might be helpful too. So maybe if
Okay. All right, thank you.
Casey, maybe Casey can find that. Okay, great. And let's love to hear from you.
Hi. So,
How's it going?
good. I have maybe a more general question. I have an 18-year-old at home who has rejection sensitive dysphoria, and we just had a talk on it, and the talk is the reason I'm asking my question. So, just for like establishing what's going on, my child is finishing high school part-time and virtually, has a lot of fight or flight, is a textbook TDA case. And we have some ambivalent relationship due to some bad parenting in the past. So when combine all of that, you can imagine there are frequent moments when it blows up. And sometimes I just don't understand why things have blown up. And then I listened to the talk, and Sharon was it? Yeah. So she mentioned in passing that kids with rejection-sensitive dysphoria have an unrealistic expectation of how others should treat them. And I'm like, yes, that's exactly what I think. Like, this is fitting very well in what I see happening, but she didn't elaborate. I have never come across it anywhere else. So twofold is like, do you have more information on that? Is there a place where I can get more information on that? And are there strategies for mitigating, like what to do? I mean, this is not a kid, this is an adult.
Yeah.
And there's all this like PDA and all that that complicates things. But I just want to hear more about it, whatever you have.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Melissa, I think this is the kind of deep work person would do in therapy, to sort of excavate the past and look at when was that early time of rejection. And I know from over time, I know some of the history here, and you know, process, you know, what the divorce was like, what different parents were like, you know, and at some point we get this belief about ourselves that we are not enough. And then when we go into new relationships, if then we're hypersensitive, hypervigilant, and we code things as rejection, as a coping mechanism to protect ourselves. So it
But
makes
I
perfect
thought,
sense that.
yeah, it does, but I thought that rejection-sensitive dysphoria comes with the person. Like I thought, because that kind of comes with ADHD. That's how I came across it initially, but then it's packaged with the personality, if you want to say. Not necessarily has to have a traumatic origin. It's just you have a highly sensitive construction and like have to somehow figure out a way out of it. But I mean, once she wants to do it, she'll do it. She has therapists, but what can I as a parent do to either nudge or like put a
Yeah.
protective balm on it?
Yeah, I know as a mom, you want to make it better for sure. And, you know, just so you know, I mean, adults with ADHD, 8 out of 10 have experienced some form of trauma. So she's definitely not alone. And I think if you can narrate your own story of, honey, this is times when I have felt this way. And, not in the heat of the moment, but, strike when the iron is cold, when things are fine, and maybe you're going to Starbucks together or walking in the neighborhood or, whatever, dinner. And just say, I learned about this thing called, RSD. And, if you've experienced it, you can talk about your experiencing. And I
She's
just think,
come to me about it. She's the person I learned. She's the first person that mentioned it to me. And then
that's
I
amazing.
knew to pay attention and get more information.
Well, and I've met your daughter. I've interviewed your daughter, and she's curious about science. So I think that could be a really interesting entry point. Let's go on YouTube together. Let's learn about it together. Do you experience this? When do you experience this? When we go to social situations, is it certain kind of people? Is it certain kind of situations? What's the experience inside? So really just making a safe space to learn about it together. I mean, that's kind of the cool thing that as a mother-daughter pair, you can kind of geek out on science. I think that'd be kind of cool to learn about it together. And, at her age, me too, Melissa, like I want to give the protective balm too, but it's almost like, how do we, as our kids get to be young adults, like developmental task is to become peers. And let's see if we can approach this as peers, and let's learn on YouTube together. Let's watch Sharon's talk together. Well, Jessica McCabe does some stuff on RSD. Carolyn McGuire does some stuff on RSD. And, she's got a very curious mind. And I think we can let curiosity lead the way and approach it as like a scientific topic. Does that sound like something you could try?
Thank you. Yeah.
Great. Keep me posted. All right. Andrea, how's it going?
Everyone. Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
I have a question about how to pick the right school for our kiddo. We currently live in Jacksonville, Wyoming. It's a small community. The choice for elementary school is basically just public school. And we've moved him once already from a dual language to our neighborhood school. And that was the right move. He's had a much better year this year because he has a much more compassionate and understanding teacher, and the principal's pretty open. We got him a 504, but we're kind of sensing that and gifted services don't start till next year.
How old is he?
He's eight.
Okay.
So, second grade going into third, gifted service, he's being screened for gifted services right now, which I'm a little nervous about because they're using the COGAT screener and he is going through a period of school refusal, low motivation, lack of interest. He did go the day that they did the first part, but I'm not sure if he actually took it seriously. He's kind of, at the point, he hates school, and has hated school for a while. So despite the fact that he loves his teacher, he really, he's already, been identified as twice exceptional, so profoundly gifted, but socially anxious. He's learned a lot around managing his emotions and made progress with that, having a very understanding teacher and with the accommodations we put into the 504. But he's not really thriving academically, and more than anything, he's losing interest and motivation and not producing. So his teacher tries really, really, really hard, but he just does not care. He'll just doodle on the piece of paper and does not want to do anything.
Yeah.
It's like pulling teeth. So we're at the point where we're considering moving cities to try to accommodate his needs and have more options and alternatives. The hard part is that what's going to be good for this kid is going to be bad for my oldest because she doesn't want to move. She's going into high school. She's thriving here. She likes it. She's a skier and a soccer player, and everything's great for her here. So we're dealing with some family, you know, dynamics, and that she's blaming him for us having to move. And I'm having to explain to her, yes, we need to prioritize his needs, because if we don't do it now, he's going to get to middle school and really, really, like, that's my fear, is that if we don't stop the bleeding now, that we're just going to end up with a pool of blood by the time we get to middle school.
I have some thoughts. Move, you know, having a profoundly gifted child. And problem with most public schools is, even if there is a gifted program, it's like a 2-hour pull-up.
Right.
Which is not gonna for this kid. So I would be gathering research from places like Davidson Academy, Bridges Academy, John Hopkins Center for Talented Youth, CTY. Let's see if we can get him in a CTY summer program. And Andrea, I think you're looking at either a very specialized school who can meet the needs of the profoundly gifted, because that is different than gifted. Like, we want the kind of place where this needs to accelerate 4 years in math, we could, and the teacher would be able to meet him there. The other option is to homeschool, and maybe we go to the public school you're zoned for lunch and recess, and, you know, specialists like art and stuff like that. And then we're doing things like Beast Academy, which is great for kids who are advanced in math. And, you know, I've been to Jackson. It's very rural. I mean, I know you don't have a lot of options there. You know, and we're probably talking about moving somewhere like somewhere with a big Chewy population, like Palo Alto, San Francisco. You know, also look at the Big Mines school. Melanie Hayes.
What school?
Big Mines in the Bay Area.
Big Mines. Okay.
Yeah.
We're looking, actually. So he got into Polaris in Denver, which is an all HGT school. Every single person in the school, all the teachers, all the paras, all the principal, everyone's HGT gifted certified. And then also looking at Boulder Valley School District, that I understand as a very strong. So we're even considering living in Boulder, but driving him 30 minutes to Denver, just so he can go to Polaris, and so that our daughter can continue to ski and go to school in Boulder. So I'm just like
in Boulder right now, by the way.
Oh yeah,
sitting in Boulder. Yeah,
awesome.
That's so funny.
Yeah,
I mean, I love that you're thinking out of the box. These are really interesting choices. I mean, Boulder is a phenomenal place. I think you've got some really good options, and the one thing I would just keep on the radar is, I think for sister, we don't want to position this as we got to get his needs met or else, you know, it's going to be a SHIT show. It's like everybody in the family needs to thrive as much as possible. And to make that happen, it's probably going to take all of us compromising, because we don't want her to feel like, oh, I'm the normal kid, so I get ignored because I have this high need sibling. It's like, we're a family, we're a team, and we want the win-win for everybody. But because there are four people in the system, it's going to look like compromise for each member of the system. But if we can get both of your needs met in Boulder, I know it's not your number one choice, but it would probably be more of a win for more members of the family. So just tweak my positioning a little bit, that this is not about one person. This is about optimizing for the whole family.
Yep. No. And what we're trying to like explain to that. And the truth is, we've prioritized her needs for so long. But it would be job opportunities for me, like it would be a good idea for all of us. So
I
trying
think
to
you,
like,
yeah. I think you have a really interesting plan, and I would suggest a shadow day at that school and make some other phone calls, gather information, and the next step is to play Sherlock Holmes.
yeah, so they don't, it's a public school, so they don't allow shadows. But that's the other thing is, and this maybe, is it more important to get those like academic gifted needs met? And it's, you always say lead with your strengths, 2 to 1. So I'm trying like, okay, I'm optimizing for the academics, but the social emotional piece is also so important. And that's what he's like lacking. So a private school like Friends School in Boulder has such a strong social emotional curriculum, but maybe not as strong of an academic curriculum. So I don't know if I can optimize for both. How do you optimize for a 2E kid? Like, how do you 2Es? I feel like are so hard.
It's very hard, and you're right. Social is very important. I mean, I think we could, yeah, the ultimate goal is what's going to help put the light in this child's eyes. I would ask, the Boulder, they're doing the gifted testing. How many kids in his grade in, third grade are profoundly gifted? And do you have magnet school for them? I mean, there's so many high-tech people in Boulder. I got to imagine there's some, maybe even a magnet school.
Yeah, it's all integrated. Boulder Valley does it all, an integrated gifted program.
I have to imagine just by the people who are attracted to this place, that he's going to have some intellectual peers. So I think it will probably be there. I think in, now I'm totally guessing, but it sounds like either the Denver or the Boulder options could have what you're looking for. And remember, all it takes is one friend and a spare. And that could be on robotics team, that could be in Math Olympiad, that could be in, a reading competition. We don't know, where it's going to come from, but I think you're on the right. I think you're on the right track. People he's going to click with are going to be very bright. Chances are they're going to be older than him. So I would look at which place has his kind of profile, the most of his kind of profile is.
Okay.
All right,
And
is that
you
in a
feel
fair
like
line?
it's critical to address this now? Like the other option is staying here, continuing to try to add more therapy, more activities. But what's the harm in like waiting? Like, I mean, that's like, do you think that's playing with fire? Like trying to wait to see if we can
I
do enough?
think, Andrea, I think it's a heartbreak when a child is not engaged in learning. But you could do it where you are through homeschooling, with Davidson Academy, with the reference, the resources that I mentioned. So I think those are your options to explore. You stay where you are and you look for educational alternatives, or you move for educational alternatives. But to I've never seen it work out where a child is languishing and miserable and disengaged in school, and the supports to meet it where he is intellectually are not there. I very rarely see that go well.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
All right, you got it. Keep me posted. Keep me posted. All right, you guys, we have time for one or two feathers. Other hands, other physical hands, digital hands. Pauline, I think I see your hand.
Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, good. I have a question here. I actually wrote it down so I could be succinct. Okay, here it is. My 12-year-old son in Los Angeles with ADHD and highly sensitive, and we have not yet experimented with a medication. He's happy and motivated when he has something to look forward to. In this case, it's always around acquiring a new video game or adding to his vintage console collection. He buys new games, his birthday money a few times a month. When he's happy, he participates in his activities like MMA. He goes to school with less complaining and distress. And what I think that we're doing is we're kind of managing his ADHD through the motivation of getting new games. Like that's his like motivator. And I just see these cycles. Like he has it to look forward to. He has it in his hand. He beats the game. And that period of time is pretty tranquil for everyone in the family. And then when he's like done with that, he has nothing else to look forward to. Things become really stressful. So my question is managing sort of his needs or his ADHD through this acquisition of games a short-term, short-sighted plan? Do we need to get on experimenting with medication? Are there other strategies?
Okay, let me ask some clarifying questions. Does this love of acquiring the games mean he's playing video games a lot, or is it balanced?
It's balanced for us in that he has to play piano, he participates in MMA, he has tennis lessons, we go out and throw a football around, so he does other things, but it is his favorite thing to do, and he's doing it for probably an hour a day.
Okay, and is it used as a carrot, like if you do your homework, you can get a game, or is it separate?
We try not to use the gaming as a reward system anymore because it's just part of who he is, and he's totally immersed in sort of all aspects of gaming and the music and the publishing rights and vintage consoles and building vintage consoles. So, yeah, we're trying to sort of have our family mantra be live a balanced life. And so you know, do these other things and you play your games because you love it too.
So if he's playing an hour a day, which is, we think of as usually pretty balanced, and he's enjoying it, is there a problem to solve here, or is it okay?
I think the question that I have is that, is it okay that like when he's happy when he has a new game and, or when he has like a console or something that he wants to acquire and he has it in his hand and he's happy for a couple of days and then that happiness diminishes and he no longer like wants to go to MMA. Like he's just like all of his motivation is totally zapped until he has a new thing that he wants to acquire. And then he's like excited again and like trying to acquire this next thing. And so I think that's.
Yeah. Is it that you're not seeing the light in his eyes for other things outside of video games? Is that kind of the concern?
That is it. Where he's not excited about things really outside of this video game sphere of interest. And when he doesn't have that to look forward to, he seems to sort of wither. And then when he has it, he's, oh, I've got the next game, this thing I want to try. And then he's like happy again for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 days or a week. And then he's like withered again.
Well, I think you are asking a really good question. And, you know, I think we would want to experiment with what other things are going to bring him some juice in his life. Now, if MMA is not doing it, piano, tennis, football, I mean, you mentioned four different things. So is he jazzed about anything, enjoying it, meeting friends? Where you see a smile on his face, you hear talking about it with enthusiasm, enjoying it while he's there? Do any of those four things meet the criteria, or do we need to start running some experiments with bringing some new activities into his life and maybe dropping the ones he's not excited about?
Yeah, I think we need to run some experiments about discovering other interests, because right now there just isn't anything that, like, you know, we're watching the show Monk. He loves the show Monk, and now we're listening to the music to Monk. So we found something else. It's a show.
Yeah, media related. Yeah. Where do you live, Colleen?
I live in outside of Los Angeles. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it would be a really cool thing to get some dopamine going would be surfing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Skateboarding. You know, he might be more of an adrenaline sports guy. You know, and that, I'm not saying your child's addicted, but that's like what they do in addiction treatment, is this find dopamine replacements.
Yeah.
So, he's old enough. You know, I have a chat with him and say, honey, I see you get really excited about new games, and that's cool, and you're managing how much you play, and that's fine. However, we need to have interests in life outside of games, so we can meet people, we can enjoy ourselves off of screens. And so I would like to run some experiments. Let's brainstorm what these things could be. You could drop some activities you're currently doing. And I would like you to add one activity. You get to choose what it is, and we could do a sample class. So notice we're not asking a yes, no question. Do you want to go surfing? Do you want to do this? We're going to brainstorm. We're going to get a list of two or three, and then you're going to choose one that you think will bring you the most excitement and dopamine and fun and enjoyment. You can also talk about summer camps. And, you know, I just keep thinking surfing because, I mean, it is such an adrenaline sport.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. And he does like bouldering, and he loves climbing. He loves it. That reminds me that we could probably drop MMA and spend more time at the climbing gym as well. So I appreciate that.
Love that. And there's a whole community there. So double win.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
All right. You got it, Colleen. All right, my friends, we had some great questions today. Thanks for coming to group coaching. If you have more questions bubbling up, oh, and Minette, I saw a hand. So let's end with you. Know that there's an ask, but one sec. Just know that there's an ask the coaches post in Facebook. Anytime you guys have coaching questions that bubble up, go ahead and type them in there. And either Coach Lauren, Coach Robin, or myself will help you out. Hey, Renette, let's wrap up with you.
Oh, it was just actually, Anon had asked about whether these fairly significant changes, like moves, would be useful for people whose kids are not profoundly gifted, but gifted and struggling, deeply struggling. So I didn't realize we had another person already who needed that question, had another question. So I just wanted to throw that out there. But I assume Anon can write that in the Facebook group as well.
Okay. Oh, you're saying there's another question in the chat?
Yeah, there was a question in the chat, and I just didn't.
What about these more significant options, relocating when it isn't a kid who is gifted or profoundly gifted but deeply struggling? Yes, or not, 100%. Anytime our child is struggling, we want to run experiments and make changes. And if it's to do with school, when you go to get to step six of the possibility plan, we're going to walk you through a decision tree, which is basically first try to troubleshoot in the classroom with the teacher and then the school counselor. Maybe you even have to escalate it to the school principal. If you feel like you can't get the needs met in that school, then we want to look at alternatives in your area or homeschool. If we've exhausted those options, we might look beyond. You know, there are some families who are moving as an option. That certainly doesn't work for everybody, but Absolutely. If our kid is anywhere on a Thrive scale below an 8, we want to keep running experiments for ourselves too, and this is why the self-scientist lifestyle is a lifestyle for life. And it's not a one and done. Each age and stage is going to bring new things. And if a child is really struggling, if we don't act, it can go down that slippery slope into mental health issues. And so we want to address it when we see those kinds of struggle. Nanette, do you think that addresses it?
Yeah, definitely. I have one child that's profoundly gifted and the other one is not. And we've made very radical changes for both to get them in a good space. So yeah, it's absolutely worthwhile.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys, Minette is such a good resource. She's one of our mentors and educated one of her kids like through mentors, a very non-traditional method. So feel free to ping her in the Facebook group. She's a wonderful, wonderful resource in our community. Hey guys, thanks for coming to group coaching. Have a beautiful week. I'm so glad so many of you are doing the possibility plan. Buddy matching results are going to come out soon and lots of good stuff coming. All right, guys, take care. Have a beautiful week.